of campaign ads, candidate rhetoric, and a mailbox full of flyers? Are you thinking of sitting out this election? Don't do it. As Christians, it's our responsibility to be salt and light. How can we influence our nation for godly values if we don't make our voices heard? Show your support for candidates who share our biblical values by voting wisely. Use iVoterGuide.com as a free tool to help you identify those candidates. Be a good steward of your vote on November the 5th. Vote wisely with iVoterGuide.com.
Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. As the announcer said, Tim Wildman here with Fred Jackson. Good morning, Brother Fred.
Good morning. Feels like the fall here.
Yeah.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Nice weather here where we live in the northeast Mississippi area.
Yeah.
Chris Woodward, good morning.
Good morning.
And how about the weather report in KCKS?
Oh, man, it's just a little bit of heaven up here. Yeah. 71 degrees, bright, sunny skies.
Beautiful.
Not very much winds. Good golf weather, Tim. I mean, really good
weather. Yeah. Well, that is perfect golf weather. That's good golf weather for that's good weather for any.
I can get you a tee time at 145.
Perfect. Well, while we enjoy perfect weather, our friends in Florida and Georgia and some other parts of the southeast are about to get hammered, Chris.
That's right. Fast-moving Hurricane Helene was advancing this morning across the Gulf toward Florida, threatening an unsurvivable storm surge in northwestern parts of the state, as well as damaging winds, rains, and flash floods hundreds of miles inland across much of the southeastern U.S., according to forecasters. I posted that story from AFN.net on our Facebook page, so do check that out for more details.
So, this, is it called Helene?
Helene, yeah.
Okay, so, it's in the middle of, when is landfall?
Yeah, they were saying early this morning was around 8 o'clock tonight. So, yeah, it's moving up. It had kind of brushed Yucatan Peninsula, Cuba. It's coming up through there. Some of the outer bands have already hit the western coast of Florida, rain, some wind. But the big news seems to be the scare for a lot of people is this surge of up to 20 feet in that bend in Florida there. Tallahassee, they're going to get hurricane-level winds in Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. I'm guessing Tallahassee's 70 miles from the coast, like that.
Yep. And then it's going to move up. Atlanta's going to experience some of this. Carolinas, Charlotte.
You know the report I saw was that there was a chance for like 7 to 10 inches of rain.
Yes.
In Georgia.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. In Asheville, North Carolina, even.
That's you talk about, well, especially if it hits the metro Atlanta area, that's shut down the city, basically.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll flood in Asheville, that little downtown area there, if you get a ton of rain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's in the hills, in the mountains.
And then it's going to swing to the west and hit Nashville. Now, by that time, it's not a hurricane.
Right.
It becomes a flooding event.
But, it's going to hit that bend in so it's tonight, right?
Yeah, tonight.
Well, now, a 20-foot surge, that's like a 20-foot wall of water that would hit the beach, right? I mean.
Right, and go far inland, too. Maybe further inland, not going to be 20 feet, but who knows? 20 feet, guys, that would wipe out most houses, right?
Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah, even the ones on stilts.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. If you're a beachfront home, okay?
Yeah.
If you're a beachfront home.
But this is serious stuff.
I mean, we ought to say it. We got a lot of listeners who are in Florida, southeast Alabama, Georgia, up into western North Carolina. And we say to all of our listeners, do what you need to do to prepare. If you need to evacuate, follow the local guidelines. But be ready because Helene is coming ashore with the vengeance in just a few hours.
Yeah.
We do have some audio from Governor Ron DeSantis. This is a soundbite that our Rusty Pugh got earlier today and has been airing a few times thus far this morning. Clip one.
I mean, certainly if you're in North Florida and you are in an evacuation zone, and there have been evacuation orders that have been issued by the local officials there who are responsible for emergency response, you have time. The time is, though, running out. The conditions are going to continue to deteriorate throughout the morning and into the early afternoon. And then as the time, especially in North Florida, once we get probably in the afternoon, you're going to start to see some really, really hazardous conditions. And the storm's expected to make landfall sometime this evening around 7 o'clock.
Now, that again is Governor and Tallahassee resident Ron DeSantis talking
about
that.
Yeah, that's the capital of Florida, and that's where the governor's mansion is. So anyway, we'll keep those folks in our prayers because that's going to be
And, you know, Governor DeSantis has a great record of with regards to recovery. One of the other things he said there this morning is that there are 30,000 linemen, I guess we'll call them,
right,
from across the United States that are just outside of that storm area. They are ready to come in. The federal government has already declared state of emergency in the area. So good news will be on the way once this passes. But they're talking about weeks, maybe even months, for that critical area in that corner to recover.
Yeah. 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 And as you say, Tallahassee, I guess, is the first major city in the path of Hurricane Helene. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, this could very well have been the top story this morning had we not had the hurricane to discuss, but New York City Mayor and Democrat Eric Adams has been charged with taking bribes and illegal campaign funds from foreign sources. This hit yesterday. It's been developing all night. We'll continue to cover it through today. But the U.S. Attorney's Office in Manhattan alleges in the indictment that Adams, quote, compounded his gains from the illegal contributions by gaming the city's matching funds program, which provides a generous match for small dollar donations. His campaign received more than 10 grand in matching funds as a result of the false certifications, according to the indictment. We do also have some audio this morning from Mayor Adams himself, who said this to the press. Clip 15.
I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief, I put the people of New York before party and politics.
Now, as part of our coverage here, Fred posted this story earlier today, and it's on our Facebook page. Mayor Adams allegedly solicited and demanded bribes, including free and heavily discounted luxury travel benefits from a Turkish official, the indictment alleges, noting that the official was seeking Adams' help pertaining to regulations of the Turkish consulate in Manhattan.
That means nothing to me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. What I'm saying is that this is a...
It's a big story.
It's going to be hard to understand for the average person. But basically, the charges are against the mayor of New York City, which has never been done before.
It is the first.
The sitting mayor of New York City is under an indictment by the federal government on that he took bribes and some kind of fraud that went on. Whether it's true or not, I guess he'll have his day in court. Mayor Adams will. The question, I guess, Fred, would be: would the mayor of the largest city in America, would he stay on the job while he's under indictment and while he's have to prepare for like a court hearing and a court trial and that kind of thing?
He is, as we speak right now, he is holding a news conference. All the networks seem to be covering it at the moment. But he said in this statement last night that, yes, he does plan to stay on the job. He says, I am innocent of all the charges.
Okay.
Apparently, according to the Associated Press, Governor Hochul has the power to remove him. We'll wait and see on that. But one of the interesting things that the mayor said last night in the video that he
produced. Can remove him without a conviction?
Without a conviction.
Huh. Okay.
We'll have to see on that. Like I say, it was a one line in the AP story. However, what he said last night was kind of interesting, and you would think that he is a Republican. He made the statement he believes he is being prosecuted and persecuted by the Biden Justice Department because he, Mayor Adams, has openly criticized the Biden administration for their border policies and for what that has meant for his city. Over 200,000 illegals have descended on his city over the last several months. He has been openly critical of the Biden administration on that. And what he said in this statement last night, he feels there is a vindictive spirit within the Biden Justice Department and that he is paying a price for that.
Ray, did you read this?
Yeah, I did. And I've no doubt, Fred, he's right about this. Mm-hmm. There's always politics at play. Why in the world at this moment in history would they drop an indictment, a sealed indictment on the mayor of New York City, something that's never been done before? It's yet more of Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, their lawfare. Now, as to the actual charges, Tim, who knows, right?
What I meant by my statement a few minutes ago, I said that means nothing to me. I didn't mean to say I'm disinterested in the story. What I'm saying is it's the charges. I'm not going to take time to read them beyond, beyond.
Sure.
So go ahead.
One of them had to do with something to do with the Turkish, a building that was going to house a new building, a new place for the Turkish consulate and special favors that were granted. Look, the special favors in big cities are granted all the time, right?
People are bribed all the time, too.
People get bribed all the time. Stuff happens all the time. But I think, Fred, the bigger story here is you cannot separate this from the fact that this probably is retribution, getting even.
I want to talk about that more in just a minute. Let me just say this, too, about our system here in the United States of America, our government system, and politicians and officials and accountability and all this. We joke. I say there's bribery everywhere, and there is. But the United States of America, better than any country in the world, we have our faults, and people are human all over the world, and they'll take bribes and money and pay to play and all this stuff that happens. But we can't normalize that because, and I'm not saying Mayor Adams is guilty of that. I'm just saying that in most of the world, probably 90% of the world, bribery is not considered wrong. It's considered the way of the world.
It's true.
It's the cost of doing business, right?
Yes, it's the cost of doing business. So you want off the hook in, I don't know, some country in Africa or the Middle East somewhere, you just pay the cops, they look the other way. And that kind of, I'm just saying that is the way of the world. But that's why so many countries in the world are impoverished and are corrupt. And so we can't let that go in the U.S. You have to have accountability by your government officials, whether it's the mayor or whether it's a city councilman or whether it's a congressman or Nancy Pelosi's husband, who, again, cashed in on a stock tip. Did you see that?
Yes.
Oh, good grief. Anyway, what I'm saying is if you allow for just open bribery and fraud and corruption, then the whole trust in our system of government will collapse.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm trying to say here?
Oh, absolutely.
So you have to have, so I don't know what the FBI seized the mayor's phone.
Early this morning, yeah.
I mean, they're serious about this. It does make you wonder, though. There's two things going on here. It does make you wonder. He claims that he is being a target because he spoke out against Biden and Harris, their administration, for allowing all these What do you say, 100,000?
There's been at least, I think, 200,000 go into New York.
Remember he was saying the federal government is not doing anything to help us here in New York.
Yes.
And it's going to collapse our budget here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We can't handle this. And he was open about it. And so he even went down to Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Remember that? And I don't even think Biden even met with him, which is kind of odd because you have the mayor of the largest Democratic city in America. By Democratic, I mean they vote Democrat all day, every day in New York. He's also a black fella.
Yes.
So you want to get now you want to get charges of racism? Is that what you, is, you know, could Adams come out this afternoon and say, with Al Sharpton, and say, hey, I'm being persecuted because I'm a black man. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
I know.
Or is he guilty? And that, again, that'll have to be proven in court. But it's just an odd situation where you have Democrats coming after Democrats.
Yes. And the timing of it. But also
in the middle of the election. Yeah.
I
think the quote from Donald Trump this morning was, now you know how it feels, in quote. I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
But in this AP story, it says his campaign received more than $10,000 in matching funds as a result of the false certifications, according to the indictment. In terms of what we of campaign funds, $10,000 is nothing. So that also leads to some suspicion. You're going to go after a politician for $10,000? Mm-hmm. When you're talking about campaign contributions of millions of dollars that, you know, Harris and others get. So there's a bad smell to this right now. We'll have to wait and see the evidence, because I think along with the mayor, Mayor Adams, there are four or five other.
The circle around him in leadership. They've already been. There's three or four of them. You're right. Who are high level officials in New York City have also. I mean, this is a.
Yes.
This is a big sting operation. Would you say sting? Yeah. Big operation that the FBI is undertaking on city officials in New York.
One of the critics this morning saying he needs to quit is AOC.
Yeah, I've got her tweet here, or post.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez,
Well,
so she said Mayor Adams needs to resign?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. But she's been a big proponent of all of these illegals coming to New York. She's all in on that.
Yeah. All right.
In related news, New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is probably one of the likely people to be elected mayor of New York City. He is interested in the job. Several people are already.
I thought he was disgraced.
Predicting.
That doesn't last long for a Democrat.
That was last weekend.
In New York, not today. Yeah, in New York, that's arbitrary.
Badge of honor.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There will be people in New York that will bring up his COVID-19 policies as leading to the deaths of elderly people. Many people have already said that, but
He got in trouble for hitting on all those women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was like a parade of women who said he was inappropriately dealing with them.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, a lot of people are talking about Vice President Kamala Harris's,
are they?
Yes, they are. sit-down interview with MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle. Kamala Harris's comments have been viewed by millions of people thus far on X, formerly known as Twitter. One of the things that's really trending is Kamala's frequent use, of words like holistically, many times in a short soundbite. Here's an example. See how many times you can spot the use of the word.
Is this yesterday?
Yes.
Yesterday. Okay.
Clip two.
Some of the work is going to be through what we do in terms of giving benefits and assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars and looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner that includes prioritizing affordable housing for working people.
All right, Fred, I'm going to put you on the spot. This is for a free lunch by me at the burger joint of your choice. Okay? Without looking, can you spell holistically only one try? Go ahead.
H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C. Holistic?
Yeah, but you got to finish it off. I said holistic.
H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C.
Holistic. Okay, but and yeah. This down in L-Y?
And if it's Ali, holistically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Holistically. It would be L-Y at the end.
Is he right, Ray?
I'm glad you didn't ask me. I don't have a clue.
Is he right?
No. H-O-L-I-S-T-I-C-A-L-L-Y.
A-L-L-Y. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
That's one of them fancy English words that, you know, we say it one way and it's spelled differently.
Good try, though, my Canadian friend. You people don't know how to spell. Holistically. I guess if you ask Vice President Harris the same question, she wouldn't be able to spit it. Even though she spit it out three times in, what, 20 seconds or something?
Three times in 23 seconds.
She just loved the word yesterday.
Listen, this is getting almost surreal. I'm talking about her. I don't know. How do I say this? I don't want to be disrespectful to anybody.
But,
and I don't want to, you know, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer either. But she may be able to ace test. You know people who can ace tests, but they can't do anything with common sense? We all know people like that, huh? I couldn't do either. But anyway, but she's not smart enough. I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know how to say that without – I'm sure she's not smart enough and articulate enough to me to communicate to be president of the United States. That's just how I feel about it. Her politics aside, go ahead, Chris.
But she has a tough job.
What, saying holistically three times? No, practice that.
She has a tough job trying to defend the record of the last 3.5 years. And when you've got to stick handle, we say in hockey, when you have to stick handle around the truth in order to make yourself sound good, you end up sounding like this.
Yes. Go ahead.
One safety net that she has to fall back on is the fact that networks such as MSNBC will defend her or find ways to explain away her problems. For example, here is the same lady Kamala is talking to, Stephanie Ruhle, defending the interview. Clip 4.
Work, and one could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
What?
That was MSNBC?
Yes, Stephanie Ruhle. I have worked with countless individuals who would give their right arm to get a call from a cable television news outlet, and they never get the call, and they have people like that getting these jobs.
Yeah.
She never gave a direct answer, but that's okay.
Because these are not direct issues. Oh, man.
I'll tell you what.
They're talking about the economy.
It's like I said a couple days ago. This election is whether you're for or against Donald Trump. To me, that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Either you're for or against Donald Trump. Now, it is for or against her, too. Of course, that is an election, you know. I mean, I'm kind of being duh here. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, what I'm saying is I think most people are going to vote one way or another because they're necessarily for that Trump or Harris. It's because they're against Harris or Trump. You see what I'm saying? I think that's going to be the number one motivating factor. And we'll see who wins in that situation. But she would be best just to stay out of the media, okay? Just stay out. Because she hasn't done – when you haven't done well in 3 years doing media interviews, even Oprah Winfrey looked at her with a blank stare the other day. She's just not good at that. And that's okay. Some people aren't. Some people are not good on their feet. They're not. They may be good, you know, doing paperwork somewhere, but they're not good, quick answers that people can understand. And it just sounds like when you roll out the word holistically three times in 20 seconds, that says to me, I practiced that last night in the mirror. To make sure I could get that word down, because doesn't that sound smart?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that sound? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay.
She's been coached
holistically. At first, I thought that may be a WH, but it's not. It's H, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's H.
All right, we'll be back momentarily. Stay with us.
If ending babies' lives in their mothers' wombs isn't heartbreaking enough, the Biden-Harris administration punishes those who protect life, including up to 10 years in jail. And in a shocking stance, the Dems' VP nominee, Walz, supports infanticide, meaning the death of newborns. When will this madness end? Preborn's network of clinics is positioned in the highest abortion areas in the country, on standby to protect and love mothers facing unplanned pregnancies. By introducing a woman to her baby through ultrasound and showering her with God's love, her baby's chance at life doubles. But they can't do it without our help. If you're pro-life, please consider a donation of any size to support the mission of Preborn. All gifts are tax deductible and will help to defend the defenseless. One ultrasound is just $28, or five ultrasounds are $140. $5,000 will sponsor ultrasounds for Preborn's entire network for a day. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@AFR.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at AFR.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of this program, here on American Family Radio. Tim, Fred, Chris, and Ray, so that's the four of us today. And now joining us is Jenna Ellis. Jenna is host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time each weekday morning here on American Family Radio. And also, Jenna is a constitutional attorney and has written at least one book. Jenna, have you written more than one book or what?
Just one book so far, but I have a couple ideas for some others that I might work on soon. So we can say that's TBD on the sequels.
I got you. So you, to be announced?
To be determined.
To be determined.
Oh, yeah. TBD.
It's not a boomer reference, so I understand why, it's, you know.
I know what TBA means. To be announced. That's when I look for the game time, and they say TBA.
TBA.
I go, this is annoying. I want to know what time kickoff is. So you live in Central Florida. What's going on there with the weather right now?
Yeah, so the hurricane is supposed to hit the Big Bend area of Florida and, of course, the West Coast the hardest. So thankfully, here in Central Florida, it's actually been pretty calm. We had some really strong wind and rain about an hour and a half ago. But right now, it's actually pretty calm and just barely drizzling outside. So I saw all of the videos of the caravans from Tampa Bay and some of the West Coast that were coming into Central Florida yesterday. So it's good that anyone who is in that predicted disaster zone does evacuate. And I also had Jimmy Petronas, who is Florida's chief financial officer, on this morning, and he's also one of the fire chiefs there, talking about how important it is to ensure that you do take precautions and you are safe. So, you know, I stocked up on water and dog food for the puppies and, you know, made sure that we can just stay in today.
Yeah. You know, a problem, I don't want to get this, isn't why we ask you on, I know you're not an expert on insurance, but there is a real problem in the state of Florida with home and property insurance right now, right?
Right.
Because, is it because of the hurricane, you know, at least one hurricane is going to hit every year. Is that the reason for that, or are there other reasons?
Well, I mean, I think it depends on who you ask, and the legislature has certainly contemplated, you know, some forms of relief, and Governor DeSantis's office has as well. I mean, obviously, you'll have higher insurance rates if you have property
right.
That's more vulnerable to some of these natural disasters. But, you know, I don't personally think it's really the fault of Governor DeSantis or some of these other things. A lot of it has to do with inflation, and we can call it Bidenflation, of course, because everything is a lot more expensive, including insurance. interest rates for homes. And that's where I think, you know, the Democrats are trying to push their kind of Marxist communist view. You'll own nothing and be happy. And so a lot more people are renting instead of buying. I mean, I'm currently, even though this is my second year living here in Florida, I'm renting instead of buying because of the interest rates. But one of the things that Jimmy Patronis said this morning that I think is really helpful is especially in the wake of some of these natural disasters like hurricanes, if you have a claim for insurance, make sure that you know that you are taking your time and you're talking to an agent from your own insurance company. There are a lot of scammers that just camp out and try to get you to sign away your claims. And so he had some really good comments on my show that everyone can listen to the rebroadcast at AFR.net and click on that icon for Jenna Ellis in the morning.
Also, it's just pretty common sense that if you build a bunch of condos and houses on the beaches and hurricanes come and blow them down, and that happens multiple times, guess what? State Farm and Farm Bureau and Prudential and all these companies are going to say, we're going to have to jack these rates up because the risk for us is great. I'm just saying that is how business works.
It is. You know, and of course, we're talking about hurricanes on the East Coast, but on the West Coast, it's been those wildfires.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you've got insurance companies, and I'm not going to name them because I just don't remember which ones, some of the big ones. They're refusing to insure now.
Just outright?
Outright.
Okay.
They're not going to insure them.
Because they can't afford the losses if it.
No.
Because those wildfires wipe out.
Yeah, that's right.
Billions of dollars worth of property.
Right? And insurance companies are moving in that direction. They'll insure you if they think you're in a safe zone.
Right.
But that's going to be a problem for Florida, you know.
Going forward.
Going forward.
Yeah.
That you're going to have insurance companies saying, hey.
I read people's comments and they say, Governor Ron DeSantis or the Republicans in the legislature, they're to blame for the housing insurance crisis in Florida. And I'm going, the hurricanes, natural disasters, don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. They're going to come to Florida, as they have for 100 years that we know of, and then prior to that, before it was inhabited. What do you make, Jenna, of the federal government indicting the Democrat African-American mayor of New York City?
Yeah, this is a wild story, isn't it? And, you know, as you mentioned to me yesterday, this is Democrats coming after Democrats.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Eric Adams' defense is basically saying that because he's trying to protect New Yorkers from the invasion through the border and the open border crisis of the Biden administration, he thinks this is retaliation. And, you know, I didn't really hear him standing up for Donald Trump when Donald Trump was saying that, you know, there's a lot of lawfare from the Democrats. So it's pretty ironic here that he's claiming that. And yet, you know, he kind of didn't speak up when Donald Trump was claiming lawfare. So, you know, maybe he's taking a page from Donald Trump's playbook and we'll see how it goes. But, you know, the indictment was just unsealed and it'll be very interesting to see.
How do you unseal in? By the way, how do they formally unseal an indictment? Is this like
a
game show?
No, it's not like a big envelope like you have at the Oscars.
Oh, that's
wouldn't
what
that
I was
be
wondering.
Fun? You know, yeah, that'd be more entertaining for sure. Maybe we'll get there at some point with all of the entertainment lawfare going on.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be interesting because that could divide the city of New York because, by that I mean along racial lines, for example.
Yeah.
Potentially. I mean, it could. But the mayor, he has a point that I think a lot of people think are the reason that the feds are going after him is because he was openly critical, as Fred said earlier, of Biden and Harris for letting the 100,000, whatever it was, Fred, you said.
At least.
Illegal immigrants flood into his city and gave him no help at all. You remember that?
Yeah, well, and it does seem that at least the feds are trying to make a show out of this because Eric Adams' attorney also said that they sent about 10 or a dozen or so federal agents to come and seize his cell phone. And he said, we would have been happy to just hand it over. So, you know, it seems just like they did with the Mar-a-Lago raid. It seems like there's a lot of showmanship here and kind of this display of power, maybe to send a message.
Hey, it's Chris here. I have a question. Correct me if I'm wrong, but has not Joe Biden at some point this year several times warned against, like, Donald Trump is going to weaponize government, and weaponizing government is wrong?
I think that he said it like, yes. I mean, we got the gist.
So the reason I'm asking that is because we're looking at a potential situation in which the Biden administration is perhaps weaponizing government to go after somebody critical of this government.
And it wouldn't be the first time, right? I mean, this is what's so ridiculous is that the Democrats are claiming that Trump is the one who's a threat to democracy. Meanwhile, they are weaponizing their institutions to go after their political opposition. And now Eric Adams may fall into that category, even though he is a Democrat. He may be political opposition. And so, you know, this is why the committee and, you know, the House Oversight Committee and the Task Force on Weaponization of Government. I mean, I wish that they would have accomplished more, but it's Congress. And, you know, they go pretty slowly on some of these things, but obviously that should never happen. The people in power should not be able to use government power just to go after their political opponents, whether it's Republicans or Democrats.
Right.
Jenna, let me ask a question broader here about politics. We're about 5.5 weeks out from the election, and I'm not asking who do you think is going to win on November the 5th, but give us your sense of the state of the race. 5.5 weeks out, how does the landscape look to you, and who has the advantage at this moment, would you say?
Wow. You know, there. I think it depends on who you ask, but since you're asking me my opinion, I think it is going to be very close. I think that Trump needs to win Pennsylvania. There's actually been a lot of newly registered Republican voters because of Scott Pressler's work on the ground that's not getting a lot of media attention, but it is really important because two of the counties that went for Biden in 2020 are now at least have more registered Republicans. Whether they get out and vote remains to be seen. North Carolina is probably a loss for Trump, especially considering all of the scandal going on with Mark Robinson, the gubernatorial candidate there. And so it's really going to depend on some of these swing states. But overall, if the Trump campaign can make a clear and focused message talking about the border invasion, talking about the economy, the things that actually matter to the voters, I think that he will have an edge up. But Kamala Harris, of course, is going to be talking about the social issues, talking about abortion, LGBTQ, and of course running on, you know, joy and fanfare and vagueness. And that seems to be winning over a lot, unfortunately, of women voters. And so some of the analysis that our good friend Steve Dace from The Blaze, who's a regular on my show, has posted is that, you know, a lot of the turnout of women are going to be very important in this election. So I think that We really just need to pray for our country is the bottom line here. And we need to pray that people will vote for the truth over, you know, kind of what they see from the mainstream media or maybe over feelings.
Well, Fred's got some breaking news from Pennsylvania. Over to you, Fred.
Yeah, just outside of Philadelphia, there is a bakery. I'm not sure if you heard about this, Jenna.
Yes.
Around election time for several election cycles now over the recent years. You can buy a blue-colored cookie if you support the Democrat or a red icing cookie if you support the Republican. And this has taken fire. This bakery now is even getting orders from across the country. But as of yesterday, actually as of Tuesday, Trump was leading Harris 12,558 cookies to Harris's 889 cookies. So she's been pretty accurate.
He's crushing her in the cookie vote.
Maybe we need to have the Electoral College changed into cookies. We can have electoral cookies
have a problem
now.
With that.
I'll vote for that.
Electoral cookies. It sounds like a very sweet way to end the election.
Absolutely.
All right, Jenna, what do you got coming up tomorrow on your show? Do you know yet?
Yes, I am actually interviewing Tyler O'Neill. He's the managing editor of the Daily Signal, and he has a really great book out called The Woketopus, which is all about how the dark money in the federal government has its tentacles all around Washington and who is actually controlling what conservatives refer to as the deep state. So I'm going to have him on for a good portion of the show. He's really excellent, and the Daily Signal is a really good outlet, and so he's going to be my primary guest tomorrow. You don't want to miss it.
All right. Thanks, Jenna. Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Okay, that's Jenna Ellis joining us this morning here on Today's Issues on American Family Radio. By the way, I mentioned the movie Reagan a couple weeks ago, and my wife and I saw that, and we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah,
have
saw
you guys
it on
seen
Monday.
That yet?
I saw it on Monday.
You did?
It's so well done.
Yeah. Dennis Quaid.
Oh, he did it.
So it's still in theaters.
It is. It is. Okay.
And it's doing a lot better than a lot of than some of the critics thought it would.
It's making a whole lot of money.
Ray, have you had a chance to see it yet?
I have not, but I've read the reviews, and it looks like the moviegoers across the country love this movie, the story of Ronald Reagan.
Now, Rotten Tomatoes is where critics rate a movie. True?
Yeah, I think
our critics and the general public.
And the general public, right.
Okay, so Dennis Quaid, the actor who plays Ronald Reagan, was commenting on this and how the Rotten Tomatoes, that's for those who don't know, that's a website mm-hmm. where that's just a clever name for a website where people remember it. But the critics, the Hollywood critics of the movies are like, almost unanimous in their condemnation of the movie Reagan, you know, for various and sundry reasons. But the people who are going to the movie are like 99 stars out of 10.
Right.
People love the movie when they see the movie. And so it just makes you once again think the reason the critics don't like the movie is because they don't like Ronald Reagan and his politics.
Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't matter if you had, you know, an Oscar-winning performance by Dennis Quaid, the ultra liberal, uber liberal media critics wouldn't like it anyway. That's what it appears.
Yeah, you know what? One of the things I enjoyed about the movie, it just refreshed my memory once again about Ronald Reagan's. I'll put it this way: relationship with the Russians. At that point, the Soviet Union.
Mikhail Gorbachev.
Yeah. Of course, there were several leaders before Gorbachev.
Yeah, they died.
And they all died. But how he dealt with Gorbachev. And basically, he called his bluff and said, okay, if you don't do this, this is what we are going to do. And Gorbachev backed down, and of course, that wall in Germany came down. A famous moment in Reagan's time in the office.
Well, it's one of the top moments in the 20th century.
I
would say a top 10 moment historically in the 20th century mm-hmm. for world history.
Yeah, but it kind of reminded me of what we have heard from former President Trump is that now what Trump has been saying in recent months during the campaign is that the world is on fire. We've got so much going on right now, Ukraine, Middle East, et cetera, because, according to Trump, Mr. Biden is perceived as being so weak. Mr. Trump, on the other hand, says, when I was president, things were calm because I believed in that ideology, political ideology, that you get peace through strength. And so I was just reminded that's how Reagan operated, and that's what former President Trump says he would continue if he's given another term in office. He believes, he has stated publicly a couple of times now, that if he's elected in November, that he will bring an end to the Ukrainian war even before he's inaugurated in January. For what it's worth. Mm-hmm. That's out there.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
One of the things that we cover a lot at AFN is the issue or are issues involving education. And a lot of our audience is, you know, a homeschool mom, a homeschool family that follows AFN for all kinds of news. I bring this up because of our audience there. And we have a lot of listeners and readers, praise God, in Arizona, where some homeschool moms have sued the state of Arizona because they say the Arizona Attorney General has made it very difficult, if not downright impossible, for homeschool families to use an ESA program, an educational savings account program, to get things like books and workbooks and flashcards and school supplies. The Attorney General there wants them to submit all kinds of paperwork justifying why they're using it to get things as simple as brown bear, what say you? And, you know, simple little children's books here.
What is an educational? I'm sorry.
An educational savings program?
I should know that.
It's basically a program that will give you some money to put towards educational materials of your choosing.
Like a tax break or something?
Kind of like an HSA, mm-hmm. health.
So is it like tax deductible or something? What is it?
It's basically their money given back to them to spend however they want. And the Attorney General now wants to make that difficult for homeschoolers to be able to use it for homeschool
purposes. You know what this is, Ray?
No, but, well, yes and no. Only generally, I don't really know what they're doing there in Arizona. So you're saying that homeschool families who ought to have a right to this money back from the state. The state is hassling them and not giving it back,
yes.
Right?
They're being discriminated against because they're homeschooling.
Bingo.
That's what they're saying.
And that is what the Goldwater Institute told me in a story that is airing today. Now, the Goldwater Institute is a think tank in addition to being a law firm, and they are representing...
In Arizona?
Yes, they are representing these two homeschool moms. I have a soundbite here of Matt Beinberg at Goldwater Institute, and he's talking to us about the hypocrisy of the left, because they always claim Republicans want to ban books, but here they are complaining about people wanting to get books. Clip 11.
You know, the left for the last several years has talked about how, you know, parents are trying to do book bans because they have concerns about, you know, content that's sexually explicit in the classroom, for instance. They call that book banning. But then they turn around and say parents need a permission slip to read Brown Bear, Brown Bear to their students, to their own kids, as part of this program. And so I think it's also just important to recognize the, you know, the hypocrisy of the left, all the talking points that they use, and arguing to again, basically say that we don't trust parents to make these decisions.
Now, I did reach out to the Attorney General's office there in the great state of Arizona, and the Attorney General's office told me they stand by their actions.
Okay. I would have thought Arizona would be homeschool friendly for the most part.
Yeah, you certainly would think that, wouldn't you? Western state?
Yeah, maybe they are overall. Maybe it's just an attorney general's office that somebody has a extra grind with homeschoolers. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it's a court case, right?
It is.
All right, I want to talk about something much more important than religious freedom. And that is former President Trump is going to a college football game on Saturday night.
That's right.
You know this?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's going to go to the Alabama and Georgia football game in Tuscaloosa on Saturday night. And according to Fox News, by the way, of course, if you want to look at this politically, and almost everything is politically when you're in a presidential, huh? Yeah. Trump's not going to Tuscaloosa just to I think he knows that all eyes of the college football world and much of the nation will be on that game because that game is like number two versus number three or something like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a big historic rivalry, Georgia versus Alabama, but also he needs to win Georgia. You know what I'm saying?
So he's going to cheer for Georgia, you think?
I don't know if he'd do that.
No, he'd probably take probably take a neutral stance. Yeah. He's going to win Alabama. Trump's going to win Alabama anyway. It wouldn't matter if he said I'm for Georgia. He's going to win but what I noticed was, by the way, the guy I feel most sorry for?
Who?
The head of security.
I was going to say Secret Service.
Yeah.
I don't know what his name is. Let's just say it's Bill. And last Monday, Bill gets a call. Hey, Bill. Hey, somebody Bill. From the Secret Service wants you on the phone. Hello. This is Bill, head of security. Yeah, Bill. President Trump's going to fly in on Saturday and be at the football game.
Yes.
You guys make arrangements for us there?
I'll tell you this, though. I'd put more faith in Alabama security right now than I would the Secret Service.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, as a matter of fact, and given all the threats floating around, I wonder, off the top of my head, are they going to put the, you know, people going to have to go through a metal detector to get into the stadium? Maybe they already do. I don't know.
Hey, I'm just curious, could a university say, with all due respect, we don't want that problem?
Sure.
Presidential motorcade and security and thousands of people, we don't know. It'd be a nightmare for us. Could they just say no? I mean, I don't know.
Maybe, but I think the networks are going to love this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It'll be, you know how TV cuts away to show Taylor Swift at the Chiefs game? They'll cut away several times to show Trump in the press box eating a hamburger or something.
Oh, he's going to eat a hamburger, all right.
He does love burgers.
Well,
he likes that, Coke, too.
Fox News is reporting what the diet will be. You want me to read this to you?
Sure. No, really, for real.
Yeah, somebody got a breaking story right here.
Wow.
It says, Trump, who is expected to attend the game between number 2 Georgia and number 4 Alabama in Tuscaloosa, has reportedly, and this is reportedly, mm-hmm. so this is still not, I don't know if it's confirmed or not, requested a meal at the ball game that includes 2 McDonald's Filet-O-Fish sandwiches with cheese, Domino's pizza. Surely this isn't all for him.
No,
hopefully,
no.
Stadium hot dogs.
Hey. Yeah, there you go.
And a Diet Coke, according to Alabama businessman Rick Mayer's buyout.
I love the Diet Coke part.
The Diet Coke cancels out.
Gotta watch those carbs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
Domino's pizza.
2 McDonald's. Yeah. Well, he's a big boy. So, yeah. I mean, I could see him
knocking down
2 Filet-O-Fish.
I can circle back to something involving Reagan. You might remember this back in the day, Tim.
Yeah.
It would have been, I think, when you were in college. Reagan actually visited the Tuscaloosa area when he was president and ate at a McDonald's in Northport, Alabama. And it was like basically an historic landmark there in Northport because Reagan ate a burger there.
Well, I knew that Trump liked Big Macs. I didn't know he was a Filet-O-Fish guy.
With cheese.
Oh, with cheese. It's just funny to me that a guy who's a multi-billionaire who could have chefs from all over the world come and cook for him. His dream every day is, can I make it to McDonald's?
That's right.
You know, to each his own, right?
That's right.
That's exactly right.
Hey, and McDonald's does have, you know, that
Big Mac and fries.
Fish sandwich is very popular.
He's a man of the people.
All right. Poor Bill. Poor Bill at security at the University of Alabama. He didn't ask for this.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in 5 minutes. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.